I begin in the name of Jesus. Amen. I wonder what it was like for Simeon. What was going through his mind in this story, in this moment? We're not told a whole lot about him other than he's a righteous and devout man, is in the temple, has been promised one way or another by God that he will not die until he has seen the Messiah. Though we often assume then that he is elderly or older, the text doesn't necessarily say that, just that he's been promised this. And he comes into the temple, and I'm wondering what he's expecting. As he comes to the temple with this sense from the Spirit, whether or maybe a direct message, that the Messiah is there, that he will find what he's been waiting for. Is it what he expects? Because he walks in and he finds this baby. Not just a baby, but a baby with two young parents who were told by the text are poor enough at least that they can't afford a lamb, which is the appropriate sacrifice for the purification. This child, this is the Messiah, this is the promised salvation, new life for Israel. I'm wondering what is going on in Simeon's head. Is this what he's expected, anticipated, waited for, hoped for? Or is this something completely different? Either way, he takes the child in his arms, hopefully with permission, lifts him up and says, "Lord, you are dismissing your servant in peace. Your word has been fulfilled, for now I have seen your salvation. It is a light of revelation and of glory, a light of truth prepared in the face of all people. This is what you have done." But within that proclamation, that beautiful phrase that is known in church lingo as the Nunc Dimittis, you don't need to remember that, but has been used over the years as a final song within worship services, as a way of dismissing us, sending us out, there is a hint of surprise or of shock, certainly of great change and transformation in what Simeon is proclaiming. Because when he says, "You have dismissed your servant in peace," it is not a, "Okay, I'm done, I'm going away now." The word, actually, apoluo, is to set free, to unbind. It is the word most commonly used to describe when someone who has been released from servitude, or when a soldier's time of service or a government official's time of service is up and they are released from their duties. They are set free to go and do otherwise. Further, driven home by the word for servant there is also the word for slave. Simeon is saying, "You have set free your slave, O Lord, me." Something in this child is not just, "Oh good, I've seen him, now I can die." You have set me free. You have transformed me. You have completely changed how I understand you, this world. I imagine that as he looks at this child, he is seeing that God is doing something unexpected. That perhaps the promise, the hope, the salvation that he has been expecting is indeed very real and is happening, but is not what he anticipated. He seems to have a sense, through the Spirit, through his own study, whatever it may be, that this child brings about the peace of God, the salvation of God, but not in the normal way. What is it that he's being freed from? If he is being set free, if he's being let loose, no longer in bondage because he has found this child, what is it that is transformed? I think in what he's saying that the salvation that God has brought forth, this new life that he sees happening, is not a new life or salvation or transformation that comes the way the world would typically bring it. the way that is expected. This is not a salvation or a new life that is going to come through military might or power or wealth. That God is doing something different. He turns to Mary and says, this child is going to be the fall and rise of many within Israel. He is going to turn things upside down. Those who are powerful, those who are right, will be brought down. Those who are seen as outsiders or unwanted will be welcomed and brought in. Indeed, we see throughout Jesus' ministry, this is what happens, that those who oppose him most are those who most people would consider the most righteous, the most godly. Those who hold on to power. Because their idea of what it means to be godly, to be holy, is tied up more in following rules and deciding who's in and who's out, drawing lines, exclusion, instead of recognizing what God has done here. That this salvation is not just for the righteous, that it is not just for a few people, but that this is revelation, good news for all nations, all peoples. The glory and revelation of God is not going to be brought in with a conquering army. Is not going to be brought in by Emperor Augustus or Emperor whoever. It is not going to be brought in some way that is huge and flashy and majestic and amazing, but through this simple child who brings about peace, new life, in the form of God. A peace that isn't about one side getting victory over another, but is recognizing that all of us belong to God. As the Galatians passage just said, that we are adopted by God into God's family, made children of God, equally to share in the blessings and the goodness of God's life. It is a promise that God is doing exactly what God has promised. It is also a recognition that God can be surprising, that God does not always act the way that we might expect or anticipate, that the way of God is one of new life and of peace, of transformation of hearts, is one that brings together and builds community instead of dividing or casting off. The way of God brings wholeness and healing as another understanding of salvation, of saving in Greek is. As we wrap up 1 year and as we head into a new one, I know we often take time to reflect on what has passed. We look forward to what may be coming. We perhaps make plans, resolutions to make ourselves better, to accomplish things in the coming year, to think about what might be helpful for us, for the world. As we do, let us also reflect on this shocking revelation to Simeon. That God has come, that God is doing something, that God's salvation has been brought near. But it may be a surprise, then and now. God's salvation is one about healing each and every one of us. God's salvation is one of bringing peace for all people. God's salvation is one that will turn things upside down. And yet will bring about the promised kingdom of God. As we especially head into a political year, an election year, may we remember the call for peace, the call for compassion and love that Jesus does not call here for political or government victory. Does not say that one side needs to dominate the other, but instead calls for peace, kindness, compassion, for the building of community for all people. To remember that all of us are called and invited to be children of God, to be made new, to be transformed. That the love, the grace, salvation of God knows no limits or boundaries. Simeon is sent off in peace to proclaim that he is no longer bound up or enslaved to the ideas of power, the ideas of might that have dominated himself, perhaps, the world around him. That he instead has been captured and claimed by the promise that he belongs to God now and always. That God's salvation is true and eternal. And that because of that, he can find the hope, the trust to move forward in all things. So we, as people of God, then, let us also go forth in the words of Simeon. Each and every week, whether we sing them or not, now, Lord, you send your servants in peace. Set us free. For we have seen your salvation, the new thing that you are doing plainly in the sight of all people, though we were blind to recognize it. But your glory, your truth shines forth in these things. And we are adopted as your children because of that. This is good news. Amen.